The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Hey Josh, how are you?
Hey Ken, good, how are you, buddy?
I never know how to start because I have that tendency to go, hey guys, which is what every boring YouTuber does.
Sure.
An exciting YouTuber too.
Yeah.
It's a plague on society.
Hey everyone, welcome to the afternoons. It doesn't matter when or where you're listening. It's always the afternoons.
I got it this time, Ken.
That's the slogan. That's the slogan. We couldn't remember that. We don't write a lot of things
we
down.
We don't. Uh-uh.
We just fly in. We just go.
That's what microphones are for. That's where you write from the mic.
You press, yes.
Ken, you write from the mic.
You know, that if I could write a book, not write a book like dictation.
Correct.
But if I could just talk books on podcasts and someone else goes back and
writes it down.
I'd probably author a lot of books.
I believe that is called, what's it called when somebody like, it's not dictation, it's like they, I did it as a job when I lived in New York for like a month. It's miserable.
A court stenographer?
No. How do those court stenographer things work? Have you ever looked at those?
Yes.
Just looks like they're playing two pedals.
Have you ever been depositioned?
Thank God, no.
I've been depositioned quite a few times because of my old job. Because of male job, like injure
right.
someone, sue
oh,
the mall.
Right, right,
because
right, right,
I
right.
fell down, it's my fault, but I'm going to sue you guys for money.
Right,
most
right.
of the time, malls settle out of court for like $10,000 up front to get it cheaper, right?
Makes
but yeah,
sense.
No, and I've started there. I always thought growing up there was like a super typewriter with A through what is that, the QWERTY keyboard?
QWERTY, yeah.
No, it's got like symbols and alien kind of like, you know,
it's like crop circles,
monolith stuff. Yeah, it's the weirdest
picture
thing.
Of Stonehenge.
If you're
the Easterhead Islands,
yes, exactly. Mm. You know, like the cover of the Who's Next album, like they're all peeing on those monoliths.
Yes.
It's like that. And
okay.
If you're a court stenographer out there and you're a fan of the afternoons, go ahead and write us. Maybe send us a video of your machine.
Please, yes, yeah, send us a video, a picture, an instructional video. Listen, we could look this up on YouTube, but again, we don't want to do things.
And it, no,
it's the afternoons.
It's the afternoons.
But most people are taking naps.
Yeah, afternoons are lazy, wonderful lazy.
Really
those court
is.
Stenographers make some good money. Too, but you have to travel around.
Oh no, you have to. You're all over.
You go around.
My buddy, who now lives in Nashville, he's actually making an amazing documentary about a cafe down there called the Bluebird Cafe, and they're shooting the documentary right now. And they posted a picture. They actually got Taylor Swift to come and be part of the documentary. And and they're getting some big country stars down there.
I
but it's
like
a
Taylor.
It's a small. It's kind of like you know, like the original room in the Comedy Store.
Yes,
but it's for country music.
I mean, I've been in Nashville a couple of times.
Okay.
It's striking a bell because I research. I have so much fun. I bring up like Wikipedia and let me learn about Nashville.
Right.
I've heard them before. I'm trying to think. I've probably been in.
Dummy's Guide to Nashville.
Yeah.
Starring Ken Napsack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just
but anyway,
hung out on Broadway, honky tonk.
So your buddy was a stenographer.
So he was a videographer for court depositions.
Another kind
of he had some incredible stories. Like, he did the deposition for Sugar Shane Mosley's divorce.
Really?
Yeah. And but he always said that those stenographers would come in kind of like the lawyer that didn't have it all together, stuff flying out of the thing, and they just set their machine down and just like, just get to work. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
See, but that's the fascinating thing about it, because I've only been there for like liability cases and a couple criminal cases and stuff like that. But I always want, I'm like, these people in a random office in Orange County or for $150 an hour coming in to take this stuff down, they're hearing the craziest stuff.
Oh, my God.
And they gotta, you got to trust that they're going to go home and not blab it to the world.
Right. They have to sign an NDA, but you got to imagine that they're going home like, hey, honey, how was your day? You'll never believe
you'll
it.
You'll never believe it.
Okay. It's kind of like how I made this joke, and this is when the point when my dad said, I think you should be a comedian, right?
Yeah.
So I was in fifth grade. And my brother was getting confirmed. Were you Catholic? You grew up Catholic.
No,
you're Christian.
No, I'm non-denominational Christian.
Non-denominational Christian. So I grew up Catholic, right?
Yeah.
And the last sacrament before you are officially recognized as a member of the church is being confirmed. It's your confirmation, right?
Is this like Last Crusade? You have to go take the penitent mansion and the leap of faith.
Okay. You got to step on that invisible bridge.
Now
and
I understand.
Walk. You chose wisely. So,
So
what happens is the bishop comes in. There's a couple bishops in the diocese of Pittsburgh, whatever, Pennsylvania. And the bishop comes in and everybody gets down and he takes this oil. It's called a Chrism, I think, or a Chism. I don't know. And and he puts it on your thing, and he's like, you pick confirm, and he asks you a question, and you walk away. And you have a sponsor, and you have a confirmation name. Like, my confirmation name was Paul, my brother's was Jerome, right? And then my uncle was my confirmation sponsor, my brother, our other uncle was my brother's.
Where did you get this confirmation name?
At a Catholic, you have to, like, pick it and then do, like, a research paper.
So it's like
on
my
it.
Ninth grade Spanish class, I chose the name Ramon?
Correct.
Got it.
My seventh grade German class, I chose the name Lars. Lars Macuga.
Lars Macuga works at another level.
Not too bad. Ramon Knapsack. Yeah. He's pretty good, too.
So I'm
in the back, and all the there's two bishops and a bunch of priests, and they're all laughing about something. And I walk back, and I was, you guys talking about confessions? Because they're not allowed to say anything about confessions, whatever. And it was like crickets. Some fifth grader goes back there like he's Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, you're talking about confessions
oh,
here?
What Mrs. O'Malley say? She really getting it? Big bang, boom, right? I'm a fifth grader because I was the altar boy for my brother's confirmation, which is even funnier because I fell asleep on the altar during the confirmation.
Oh, altar boy.
And I went back there, and I came out, and my dad's like, what happened back there? I was like, I made some joke about confessions. He's like, what kind of joke do you make? And I was like, well, they were all back there laughing. And I came back. I was like, what, are you guys laughing about confessions? And my dad was like, you said that? And he starts laughing. My dad is uber, uber Catholic, like the Catholic of Catholicism, right? And he's like, did you say that? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, Lou, get over here. He's like, tell him what you just told me. By the end of the end of the confirmation, they're like, tell the story again. Tell it again. My dad's like, you should be a comedian. I was like, yeah, all right, I'm going to do it. I don't know how we got that far off track.
I don't know, but that's what we love doing here.
It was court stenographers.
Court stenographers. Yeah, from court stenographers to Josh Macuga insulting priests in Catholic churches.
I mean, court stenographers have to get that 3 o'clock feeling when they're just droning on. Are they falling asleep?
This whole show's a 3 o'clock feeling, and I love it. I love it. I love it a lot. Hey, big news up Tosh. Tosh 0.0 is a decent enough show. Big news up top.
Okay.
The Afternoons has been here on the Knapsack Files podcast feed for a while. That's where you're listening to it right now. But shortly, soon, look for it on its own RSS feed. We'll let you know when that happens. All the episodes that have been aired on the Knapsack Files will be moved over. They'll stay on the Knapsack Files, but those first four, if I, actually, if this is the fifth one, will move on over.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to listen to them there in one spot. Josh, it's the Afternoons, its own show.
Absolutely. I think it deserves it. I think you and I, it's time. We might have a graphic. We might have our own font.
Ooh, I'll make some fonts and graphics.
Some thumbnails.
Oh, I love thumbnails.
A banner.
Merchandising.
Maybe the Josh Macuga Show YouTube channel.
Oh, I'd love that.
Like
I'd
an audio that. File to throw it up there. Just a nice picture of us.
Pay like RB3 to convert it.
That's
what the kids do these days, right?
Doing? Yeah.
Convert it.
Yeah, we get, you know, the nice thing about now is, too, if you get YouTube Red, which I got that free month to watch Cobra Kai.
Right. I didn't, but yeah.
Which, if you you got to watch it. Just I got the free trial, and then I canceled it right away.
All right.
So, I have it. But now on YouTube Red, which is beautiful, is if you start watching a YouTube video, like, just say you want to listen to a song. And let's just say it's Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams Come True. Okay?
Yeah.
And you're in that kind of mood, right? And then you switch off the YouTube, and then the song stops.
Yes, drives me crazy.
With YouTube Red, it keeps going.
Oh, that's how they get you.
Yep.
That's it. You want to listen to 1980s wrestling themes?
Yes.
The entire time?
Right.
Here comes the axe. Here comes the smasher. Oh, the demolition.
Boom.
Walking disaster. Yeah, that's where you go and do
correct.
It.
Correct.
Right? YouTube
correct.
Red.
Correct. So it's been nice lately because those songs come on. And, you know, sometimes I don't want to listen to the daily again. The podcast.
You like the daily.
I do.
Podcast.
It's like
you
how I get
Mark
my politics.
Riley, right? Don't you do that?
Correct.
Yeah.
Mark Riley is the Simkowski that we all know and love. The Smikowski, right?
Yes.
He's a constant doomsday prepper, a naysayer. I love him. But you know, Mark Riley's the kind of guy that answers the phone calls from numbers that you don't know.
He loves it.
He does.
And I think one day we're
he's an antagonizer.
Yes. We're gonna have to get Mark Riley over here on the Afternoons to answer for his sins, which are entertaining.
Yeah.
About why he answers telemarketing calls on purpose to fight with them.
Mark Riley needs to be the next guest because we got a lot of questions for Mark Riley. He's an angry guy.
Yeah. He's the sweetest angry man around.
Sweetest angry man alive.
Right.
Just he's always smiling. But then all of a sudden.
Yeah. We're the godparents to his dog, Cal.
Like, okay. Do a phone ring for me. Oh, now who the fuck is this number? Do you guys know a number from 918? Do you know a 918? Hold on.
Don't answer it, Riley.
Hello? No, I don't. And you know what? You could stop calling me as well. Yes. No. Yes. Can you believe people? You don't have to answer it.
I love it. I hope Mark Riley is listening right now. I'm going to tip him off and tell him to jump to about the 9.5 minute mark of this podcast where we call him out on his sins. And then I think we need to have him here in the afternoon studios to answer for it because it's the best thing.
He needs to be here. He's like my mother during dinner, right? The phone would ring. My mom would say, don't answer it. Don't answer it. And then she would get up and answer.
And she
would scream on the phone. Who is this? You're calling for who? Do you know him personally? Like, Mom, just stop answering the phone.
It's little Kenny down the street. He just wants to play with Joshy.
It's Andrew Tradwick from up the street. He's a good kid.
So, yes, Mark Riley is one of our favorite humans. Yeah. Again, like I said, we're godparents to his dog, Cal. I don't know if he's officially named us godparents to Cal, but I think we have taken on that role. I want to know why. It's the best thing. Because you know what? We'd get in that writer's room when we were gainfully employed, you and I. And he would be like, guys, sorry, I have to get on the phone with my cable company.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, here we go.
Get your popcorn ready.
Get your popcorn. In the main event.
And this is when Cal would come sit at my desk.
Yeah.
And then he would go over to your desk because Uncle Mark, because Dad was so angry at MCI Telecom.
Yes.
Whoever is providing AT&T cable service.
I don't know these days. They're the worst. Anyways.
So we're getting our own channel.
The reason we're doing that for, yes, I know I'm going to have like 3 or 4 separate podcast feeds out there, but this is where we are now in the world. Afternoons will be its own thing for marketing reasons, business reasons, and just kind of establishing its own little brand, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But look for it. Probably be housed at Podomatic and the move out from there. So I just want to give you guys the heads up there.
And Ken and I are going to try and record every Tuesday if we can.
Tuesday, and then I think you and I will talk. Let's just have our business meeting now.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to talk when we want that out. It could be the afternoons for us here,
right?
But we'll see. But and then eventually, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Josh and I want to grow this to the point where it's something that we would do
every day,
3-4 times a week. We just need some capital behind it.
Yes, we need a little
That's
capital. If you're
game.
Out there and you would like to invest.
Yes. Do you have millions that you're sitting around with going, where do I stick this money?
Yeah.
Reach out to me. DM me. Slide into the DMs.
Slide into those old DMs. You know, you can reach out to me on Venmo.
Oh, yeah.
You just DM me up there on Venmo. Anybody still using Vero? Or was that like a
Vero,
quick,
boof. That was like 4 days of glory.
Man, that like explode. All of a sudden, people like, I'm on Vero. And then 2 weeks later, everybody was like, Michelle Vieira?
Yeah. Right? She's her own kind of social media. It's because here's the thing, because I have next to my Vero app on my phone, which I still have, I have my Peach app. Do you remember Peach a couple years ago? I was in New Orleans.
I remember Princess Peach.
Princess Peach.
In Mario Kart.
Yeah. I was in New Orleans with Screen Junkies for Wizard World. So this is January 2016. I remember it because I was drunk in my bedroom, my hotel room, and somehow this came, and I started Peach. And it was supposed to be like, it's like Twitter, but like Facebook, but Instagram. It's the new thing. I have this, and when Vero popped up, the same thing. And so I have this like fear, like I'm what's an F minus internet personality, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
I'm like low on the totem pole, but I don't know.
I'm going to give you a solid D plus.
D plus is good.
Because I'm a C minus.
You're C minus.
I'm a step above you, Ken.
Well, that's because you're in WGN. WGN, man.
WGN America.
WGN America.
It's for the whole country.
You have a check mark. I don't want anyone to take my name, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to sign into Vero and someone's like, the official Ken Knapsack, and
correct,
it's just dick pics or something bad like that.
Then you have to be like Ken_Knapsack.
Right. So I rushed to get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, Vero, it looks stupid. But enough people are sick of Facebook right now, the algorithms and privacy. I thought it might have lasted more than 4 days.
I get more emails. So I have 2 email accounts.
Mm-hmm.
One is for like business and people that I know and like,
right,
and the other one is simply for spam. You know, like when I sign up for something or, you know, a t-shirt company or where I get my airline stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want them reaching out like, hey,
leave me alone.
Recommend
a friend. But give me stuff,
You know what I mean? When I signed up for Vista Grande Phase 3, I needed to, there's a callback from last week's episode. So I keep getting these emails being like, hey, you're invited to an event for Vagro, the new social media that has video, pictures, shareable content. I'm like, that's all the social medias already. Yeah. It would be funny if like you got an email from a company that was like, we're called Alone. This is the newest social media. Do you not want anybody to know anything, but you just want to post social media to yourself?
To yourself.
We are Alone.
You could download Peach and try that out, but I think we need to have a fan out there listening to design Alone.
I think it's a with a backwards L, like you know, kind of, and then the O is a zero,
like a Z,
because you're it's a Z because you're alone.
Yeah,
you're alone. Or maybe it's like a one in so it's a one,
a like one.
By yourself.
Yeah,
zero because you're alone.
Love it.
And E, and it's like the E.
I love that.
Yeah, Alone. That's pretty good.
That's it. What's the tagline again?
Alone. Social media for yourself.
There you go. That's the t-shirt we need right there, guys. patent pending. Makuga owns the rights to that.
Hey, who's on Alone? Just me.
I have about a 20% stake. This is great. Yeah. This is great.
The more friends you get on Alone, the worse the worse the social media is.
It's got a real-time timeline. It's just your tweets.
It's just it.
It's your Alone's. It's your loans.
Have you met with other loners? No.
No.
There's no other loners.
No.
This is just social media
for me. I go on and I just look at my own posts.
Yep.
No one has any.
I laugh at them.
Political stuff.
Nope.
No one has, here's my current rankings of Star Wars films.
Yeah.
None of that. It's just me tweeting stuff about like the Doritos I ate that day at 7-Eleven.
And you think it's funny?
Yeah.
And you know what's funny about the Alone app is you'll be like, hey, did you guys see what I post on Alone? And they're like, no. Like, that's the point.
That's the point.
I don't want you knowing where I am. I don't want people, because, you know, people are like, oh, I saw you just went on vacation. Yeah. Must be nice. I'm like,
yeah.
Sorry that my wife won a trip.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Sorry for trying to enjoy my life.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, saw you went to Sizzle the other day with Ken. Must have been fun.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was great.
Right. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of your neighborhood, we got into a fight last week.
We did.
About Portos. Okay, see, have you talked about this on podcast before?
No, and...
it's a very geocentric conversation.
Yes, so Portos, and you're not the only one. I got a real-world argument this weekend...
With
Grace Hancock about my desire to never go to Portos.
Okay.
So...
No, let's set the base here.
Pile on, baby.
Because in between this week and next week...
Yeah.
I feel like next week I'm going to come a little bit earlier so I can take you to lunch at Portos.
Oh, wow.
And thus show you some of the glory. Now, why don't you? First of all, can I set the base of what Portos is?
Okay. Yeah, it's because it's regional, right?
Yeah, it's regional.
Yeah, I mean, there's different locations around LA, but I think it's...
The original location is not 10 minutes from your place.
Is this the first one?
That's the original. The first one is this
one. That's the original Tommy's down in Rampart.
Correct. Don't go there.
don't
shady. There's
don't
a guy
a chili
dead in the deep fryer.
Yeah.
I've been to the Tommy's on Venice.
Yeah.
You know, the one like in Culver City?
Yep. And that's a real Tommy's, right?
That's a real one.
Because there was the fake Tommy's for years.
Yes. That was the one over on...
Well, there was one in my mall for years. It's finally gone.
Oh, it's fake. Okay.
I think it was T-O-M-M-I-E-S was Tommy's.
The real Tommy has a Y.
Yeah.
So Portos is down the street. It's a Cuban bakery.
It's a Cuban,
It's Cuban.
Okay.
There is always a line... Always. On the weekends, the lines are insane, especially during holiday seasons.
The traffic
around it is a lot. And I get that point.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay.
Okay. And people kept telling me, you got to go to Portos, you got to go to Portos. And I was the same way. I was like, oh, man, how good can this Portos place be?
Mm-hmm.
Then I had it.
Okay.
It is very inexpensive. It is delicious. Now, they have a lot of sweet treats, like cakes and pastries and that stuff. But they also have a lot of salty stuff. They have a great chicken sandwich. A great Cuban sandwich. They have these unbelievable meatballs. They have these deep fried things that are just delicious, Ken.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to show you the glory of Portos.
Okay.
We need to have like a buffet of Portos food, because we are buffet men after all.
We are buffet men. All right.
So
and then you text me last week.
Yes.
Because you were leaving after we were recording. You're like, I'm kind of hungry. And I was like, I'll get someone on the way home. And then you're like, you text me. You're like, Portos is here. I was like, never been. I don't want to get too far into it here, but yes, the big reason I don't like Porto's is the line, because it's not just this location. There's one in Pasadena next to Damon's, which is my little favorite.
Ooh, I love Damon's onion loaf.
Onion loaf. The line's not as bad there, but it's always chaos, and it's the parking is worse than a Trader Joe's parking lot. And that one there, that line. We're talking 400 people deep on holidays.
Oh, 100%.
Not even hyperbole. And then the parking lot, they have people out there to kind of like parking attendant. Doesn't work.
No.
Blocks
he's
the traffic.
He's literally there as a figurehead.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Blocks the traffic. Mm-hmm. It's chaos to get there. So, but that's the first thing. I don't like waiting in line. So I don't go to Pink's Hot Dogs and all that kind of stuff. I can, but I can understand what you're saying shouldn't factor in. Because Grace loves Porto's and she's told me the same thing. You're a dodo head. Wait, why would it's worth it?
You're a real dummy.
She says.
And the line goes fast, Ken. They are a well-oiled machine. There's two lines of people, so you can get on the salty side. You can get on the sweet side.
Oh, really?
I can show you a couple different sweets. I know you have a sweet tooth. I know you like sweet things,
I like sweet
Ken.
Treats. I do like salt. But here's the other thing. I'll tell you what.
Go.
So having worked in an office in L.A., Northridge area, for 12 years or so, a lot of people bring that kind of stuff, right?
Because they're geniuses.
So people be like, oh, guess what? I brought Porto's today. And every time it was this croissant, dry,
croissant,
flaky, none of it tasted like a party to me. And I was like,
Was it just a plain croissant?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a wasted trip to Porto's.
It might be. And then some of the other stuff, it's like, do you like kiwi gelled into like a cheese muffin or something weird?
The guava cheese blintz.
That's what it is. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Guava blintz.
It's really good. Did you not like it?
I didn't even like looking at it.
Okay, well, see, you got it. The guava is fantastic. Now, I never thought it was a guava guy. I know
I don't
that
think I don't take you as a guava man.
Nah, you know, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of fruits out there that that I am accustomed to. But when you say the word guava, it sounds way too foreign to me, way too exotic. Yeah. But I feel like there is definitely a stripper out there named Guava.
Oh, yeah.
Come to the stage next, Guava.
Yeah, Guava's on the main stage.
And Guava also sounds
take care
to me
of her,
like
guys.
Feeling it for Guava. Let's hear it for a recent graduate of law school just trying to pay off those loans. Guava. Family owned a guava farm. That's why it's... Guava also sounds like lava. And then I think of a guava fruit, like you open it and it just starts spewing out liquid, right? I'd have no idea. If somebody was like, hey, this is a guava, and they showed me a picture of Fred Armisen, I'd be like, yeah, that's what a guava is. I don't know what a guava looks like. It could be a totally off-the-wall thing.
Fred Armisen.
So I don't know what a guava is, Kent.
I
really
don't either.
But what I will say is the guava blintz, the guava like pastry, delicious.
I know exactly what
there's a cheese Danish that's unbelievable. There's this fruit tart. Right. I got a tiramisu there, Ken, that would blow your mind.
And then Grace has told me about these ham and cheese meatballs.
Oh, God, they're amazing.
So here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
You need to contact her
on
your own and say, look, I discovered Ken hates Porto's. I'm going to change his mind. You're going
to
help.
You have to
Let's
join.
Do this together.
Correct.
Because this was an argument we had this weekend.
Okay.
She thinks I'm a stubborn dodo head.
Yep.
That's kind of a quote.
Yep.
Because I didn't go to Porto's. I refused to go to Porto's.
I'm going to, I'm siding with Grace on this one.
It looks like it's 2-1.
Listen.
I'm up for a good try.
If Dick Vermeil is the head coach and he's crying because you don't like Porto's, both of his coordinators, defensive and offensive coordinators, are both crying on the sidelines. We got to get him to Porto's.
Yeah. Lawrence Phillips was he was a great kid.
Ron Jaworski's a hell of a guy. Oh, God.
All right. We'll settle that. We'll settle
so next
that.
Week, the great Porto's argument is settled. And I need you to have an open mind on this, Ken. I can't have you coming in like some Star Wars fan wanting Snoke to know the moonwalk.
You're on it.
And when he doesn't have it.
You got it.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
I don't want that.
I will guarantee you later in life, I've discovered that I am a stubborn a-hole and I'll try to open my mind a little bit more. I'm okay with that. I'll give you that guarantee.
I've started something in my life. Because my wife.
Because you're a married man.
I'm a married man. My wife says that I'm a bit too curmudgeon-y when it comes to things. Okay? And I agree with that. I am, you know me, I'm a very happy-go-lucky guy, but
you
sometimes
are.
I'm very set in my ways, Ken. Okay?
Yeah.
And we got in this argument, which I think is hysterical, about wanting to see the childbirth.
Okay.
Okay? And I said I'm still scarred from the movie Knocked Up when they showed the breach. And she's like, well, that wasn't your wife's, that wasn't your baby coming to the world. And I said, okay, well, it's also, it's a good point. But again, until I'm in the situation, I think I'm just going to, let me have my opinion. And she's like, you need to start thinking a little more openly about things. So what I said is, babe, you get 1 out of 10. So pick your battles of things that I'm a curmudgeon-y about. And she battled back.
10. Okay.
Well, then she battled back with 1 out of 5. Okay. And so we met at the middle at 1 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And so here I am at 1 out of 5. So I've been like trying to open my mind about certain things.
Okay.
Like
Portos.
Like going to a Korean spa. I don't like people touching me that aren't like.
That you don't know.
That I don't know. Okay. Yeah. I don't want them massaging me. I have a lot of hair on my body. I don't want them making faces and being grossed out by me. I know what's going on back there.
You're good shape. I think they'd just be like, it's a hairy lump of meat. Fine. Not a hairy lump of fat. Okay. It'd be all right.
I don't want to be walking around with a bunch of like men in their wieners hanging out that I don't know. It's
I don't
really
want no
me.
Flapping ding-a-lings around me.
Thank you, Ken.
And I got
that's another t-shirt. I don't want no flapping ding-a-lings.
And I got no problem with the ding-a-lings. I got no problem. Like, I'm okay. I'm not, but
we've
I
all
just
seen them.
I don't want the flapping ding-a-lings walking around me
all the time.
In like a setting.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to a male Chippendales review and get better top-notch flapping ding-a-lings than the local gym's ding-a-lings.
100%. No, and I think that the men at those Chippendales are pretty talented.
Yeah.
They give you some ideas for dance floor moves.
I can appreciate beauty when I see beauty. So 100%. I'm fine there.
Wear your bathing suit in the steam room. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Or put a towel over top of your ding-a-ling.
Yep.
Okay?
Keep those flapping ding-a-lings down.
So I've been like, okay, that's one that that's going to stay with me forever. But maybe in the future, you could convince me to like have somebody give me a massage over top of my shirt at like a mall.
Okay. Yeah.
Or one of those like come to the park places.
I'm there.
Okay.
I like those. We can go to the one in Northridge, yeah.
Again, there's give and takes here. You're going with one of your best friends and your best gal.
Yeah.
And we're gonna show you that Portos is really for you. Listen, I'm not coming in here and I'm saying, hey, listen, this vegan place is unbelievable. It's gonna be the best food you've ever had. That's not it.
Look, I'll tell you what, there's a place, I think it's on Beverly Boulevard called Vegan Glory. And I've eaten many meals there that
really?
I liked it a lot.
Interesting. But so, I'm leaving.
So what I'm understanding here is you and I both have a similar affliction, which is we're stubborn.
Yes.
A little finicky.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to grow, I need to go try a ham and cheese ball at Porto's, and you need to watch your wife give birth to a child.
Oh, that's two extremes, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, you win, I guess. do you want to be...
Winning there is a relative term.
I understand the trepidation on your part. I'm not in that position. Yeah. But would you prefer to be in the room, like, holding the VHS camcorder?
No, I'm not going to hold the VHS. I'm not going to Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, or...
Even though that didn't happen in that movie.
Yeah,
They did hold a VHS camcorder in the movie.
Do you want to be, like, in the waiting room with, like, a top hat and a cigar? My wife's in there giving birth.
I tell you what, guys, if she comes out and they say, it's a boy, drinks on me.
Yes.
Because I said to Amanda, one of my favorite episodes of Mad Men is when Don Draper is in the waiting room. He's smoking a cigarette. He's having a drink. And there's a guy in the waiting room.
Right.
And he's like, oh, my God, this is my first baby. And Don's like, calm down and have a drink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, they waited outside. They did all the thing. Listen, I'm not going to wait outside because the husband's supposed to be in there. I'm going to be in there, and I'm going to be holding her hand, but I'm not going to look under the undercarriage. I'm leaving that for the professionals.
Okay.
She doesn't need a two. Listen, when you fix a car, you don't have 9 mechanics under there.
You don't want to be the sports radio of births.
Correct. I'd be like, all right, and there's the head. We're coming around. We're talking about 7 centimeters. No.
Bad call, coach.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
That's fair.
You know how the first base coach does absolutely nothing in baseball?
He times the pitcher, right?
Right. That's
but
it.
Really, you don't need that.
I'll be the first base coach, Ken.
Okay.
I could wear a helmet.
Yeah.
I could give encouraging words.
I like this.
I slap you on the butt when you get a walk. nice, not even a nice line drive single.
He's Josh McCuga, the most sensitive husband in the world.
I will give words of encouragement, Ken.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like, there before the grace of God go I. I don't know. That scene in Knocked Up got me too.
Really, right?
I get it, but it's a good scene.
But what would you do?
I think.
Do you want to see the glory of the birth?
I think I'd have to.
Really?
Like when I say have to, don't mean like, like being like, get in there before. Like, I think in deep down, whether as uncomfortable as this might be, this is real life. And I think I wouldn't want to miss that.
Interesting.
Like 50 years later, be like, come here, son. I stepped out.
You know what also I thought, too, is I wanted to be on D-Day, but then I saw Saving Private Ryan, and I'm okay that I wasn't there.
Okay, that's fair.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's fair. That's fair. And I saw Tropic Thunder and went, that looked fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't need to be in the Vietnam War. You're right.
All right, so we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
We'll start with Porto's, then we'll work up to your problem.
I was going
to
say, we got about 2 years before, 3 years,
two, 3 years
ever, you know, but next week we have your Porto's.
Okay.
So we've got timelines here, Ken.
I like that. Okay, we'll work on that. Okay. I'm on board.
Got it.
Going with a open, clear eyes, full hearts, or whatever it is.
Can't lose.
I'll can't lose.
I'm telling you, I will pick the items on the menu. Okay. I'll even do my research so that it is a well-oiled machine of an order.
Can we, do we eat there?
We can eat there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm here with you.
There's a little cafeteria section.
I'm here with you on that. All right. I'm up for new things, and you out there listening.
And everybody in there is very positive, Ken.
Okay.
I'm so excited to be at Porto's. Look, you can't not have a good time.
I respect that, because when I started my unemployment this past year, mm-hmm. I got called. I got randomly selected, because it's been a few years, like 20 years mm-hmm. since I've been on unemployment, so they were suspicious.
Oh.
So they called me into the employment education system. It's like attached to the unemployment office, mm-hmm. but it's its own branch, right? Mm-hmm. And horrible, annoying. I had to go in there for a class to learn how to interview for jobs. They made me do this or I was going to lose my benefits. But I ended up having a good time, and I had to go twice because everyone there had a good attitude.
See?
So if Porto's can start there, we'll go from there.
Okay. Beautiful.
Right. Fair enough.
Done and done.
Speaking of stubborn.
Talk to me.
You won't watch Westworld.
No.
Neither will I.
No.
And I'm sticking to it.
Good.
We're not learning lessons there.
Nope.
That show lost me on the pilot.
Yep.
Now, you went a little farther.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, Ken, I was hosting a ill-fated show called Collider TV Talk.
Ill-fated indeed.
Ill-fated.
Yeah.
It had a glorious run.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah.
We had some fun there. We had some great co-hosts.
Great stuff.
Sacha Pearl Raver, Emma Fife, Grace Hancock, mm-hmm. David Griffin, the legend.
Love them all.
And one, the great Shinasty, Sinead DeFries.
Right.
And I was forced to watch that show. Now, after the pilot, I hated it. After the second episode, I hated it even more. Then I did something I thought I would never do, Ken.
Okay.
I lied to myself. And I lied to the audience. And I lied to everybody that I worked with and said that I enjoyed Westworld. But deep down,
you didn't.
I hated it.
Okay.
I can't stand it. We should never be trusting robots, as I like to say, robots.
Robots.
Okay. We should never be trusting them. I don't care if they get consciousness. I don't care if they're making money hand over fist in this world. You melt the robots and you start over with a new program.
Love it.
You melt them. You get rid of them.
I do not believe in robot rights.
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
They're terrible, terrible things. Yeah. We should not be working on AI. We really shouldn't.
No.
We really shouldn't.
Back off.
Self-driving cars, AI Science. Robots. We don't need that.
Movie's been warning us for years.
For years. And here we are.
Yeah.
Messing around with AI. And that's Thank what, if God. Anything that, oh, they're like, oh, the shots are beautiful. Every effing episode starts with, I had a dream once, and the dream was of this. And I'm like, your dream, because you had a robot, and your robot memory, just you kept restarting your computer, and the computer went around, right?
You like my Commodore 64.
Everybody knows that you hit reset on the Nintendo when the Castlevania froze. Correct.
Blow on that cartridge.
Blow it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can't hit reset on these dumb robots. Just melt them. And if you wanted to, it seems pretty easy. They keep making more robots. Just keep making the robots.
Right.
What are you doing? Look, why are you even saving them?
Kill them all.
Talk to me, Ken.
I, as you know, mm-hmm. huge Game of Thrones fan.
Huge?
You are too.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm not.
Yeah. But
according to the internet.
Well, the internet's so right all the time.
Yeah.
So when this show's coming out, mm-hmm. now I love Westerns.
Oh, I love them.
Like, I love that kind of
stuff. Did you watch that Jeff Daniels Western?
Started to watch it.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot that I started, which doesn't bode well for the show, but I still want to go forward.
It's a great ending. Really well
I want to watch it because he was great. Yeah, the whole show was great.
Yeah.
But point being, I love Westerns.
Yeah.
Now, yes, do I love Tombstone and Young Guns 1 and 2 more than Shane or Unforgiven? Yeah, but I love them all.
Yes.
You're not going to go wrong with a Western.
I mean, Unforgiven's great.
Unforgiven's great. 3:10 to Yuma, the remake. I love that
movie. That was really
well
done.
Ben Foster, Christian Bale. So good, so good, awesome. So good.
Tombstone is, I mean.
Tombstone's.
Top 20 movies for me all time, maybe.
So is Young Guns.
Too. Yeah.
But I get the difference.
Okay.
But. So, anyways, point being, I went in with an open heart, mm-hmm. just like I'm going to go into Porto's next mm-hmm. week. And I sat down, and by the end of the theme song, which is done by Raman Djati, the same guy as Game of Thrones.
Oh.
So he does great work. But by the end of the theme song, I was like, I'm out.
Right.
I'm out. Like,
yes.
It's just, I don't, but I'm here, going to watch the pilot. No joke, not exaggerated, fell asleep during it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I like everyone in it? Yes.
Great
Ed
actors.
Harris. Jeffrey Wright is absolutely one of my favorite
I love
actors.
Jeffrey Wright.
Love him. Boardwalk Empire. Oh, he is spectacular.
So good.
He's great in Casino Royale.
Dr. Nosferatu. What's his Dr. It's something close
yes,
to that.
Yes, it's been well.
Awesome.
You know, Casino Royale.
Oh, my God. Incredible.
I'm bleeding chips. Take
yes.
It. Great. Even in a he owns every scene he's in. So I'm not here to disparage anybody.
Even old Marshmallow Pants James Marsden.
Anthony Hopkins, right?
Yeah, for Christ's sake.
Come on. Evan Rachel Wood is the lead. Great.
Tandy Newton, fantastic.
Love her. So here's the thing. I am not here to disparage anyone involved with that. Jimmy Simpson. I love Jimmy Simpson.
Yeah.
McBoyles. Come on. I'm not the creators. This isn't a, it sucks and I'm done.
No.
I watched the pilot and I was like, not for me.
Right.
If I was to keep going, I'd be lying to myself and I didn't have an audience that was listening for my bit of words. And nothing, I can't dive back in.
No.
Man.
No way.
And there's nothing. I'm hearing some of the stuff because you hear. Then the robot comes. I'm not interested.
No.
Not interested.
Oh, all the robots are alive now. That's what it happens every time.
Yep.
We've told you all this before. And every time, Terminator, they come alive. Westworld, they come alive. All AI, the Bicentennial Man. Ex Machina.
Ex Machina, which I love Ex Machina, by the way. But it is more to my point of, nope, don't give these robots an
Stop
edge.
Stop it.
But Bicentennial Man's a great,
yes.
great reference.
Okay. That's the only point I'm getting in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And the entire thing, all anybody did was like, so this robot's going to come alive. This one is a robot. That one was a robot. That's all these stupid fan theories that I hate. And I know, to me, that has ruined the Star Wars franchise to me.
Sure.
At points that has ruined the Game of Thrones franchise to me is all these people trying to predict what happens is not fun for me.
It isn't for me either. It isn't for me either. And I'll tell you what, I have a little bit. You can't help but watch Star Wars and Game of Thrones and go, ooh, I wonder.
Right. Okay, go ahead and wonder.
And I'm going to go on this more in other areas. I feel I need to with Star Wars just as a whole these days.
Sure.
I don't watch Star Wars or Game of Thrones like that. I watch it as a fan who is bought in and invested into this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dorky. It's not that I think Chewbacca's a real character out there in the galaxy. I'm so invested. So if you go, hey, here's our new movie, our new comic book, our new novel, or the new season of Game of Thrones, I look at it as, ooh, what's happening in this story?
Okay.
So I sit back and I just want to see. And then when stuff happens, I go, ooh, all right, I kind of thought that might have happened, or ooh, that didn't. But how does it affect the story and the world? I don't have my theories. They used to ask me at Collider all the time, Ken, can you do like a top three Game of Thrones theories video? I honestly, I can't. I don't watch it that way.
Right. No.
So,
I think that's why we get along with each other so well as far as movies and TV go, because we watch it the same way. I've never been the guy that comes out and be like, yo, it's going to end. Danny's going to be on the throne. All the dragons are going to be alive. That's not for me. I love to see how things unfold. I don't like to predict. I've never been the dude that, like, at the beginning of Sixth Sense, like, Bruce Willis is dead. Right. Spoiler alert.
Right.
That's not how I consume media, books, TV, movies, all that stuff. So when I go to see something like Last Jedi or even most recently Avengers, Infinity War.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Everybody's like, can you believe Star-Lord? I'm like, guys, that's what his person, like that's
what he does.
Yeah. Okay, this is how this has to happen. These are plot points.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy when movies work in plot points. They can't all be Coen Brothers movies where it's a folk singer following a cat and that's a movie. Okay? Inside Llewyn Davis and that's a movie.
Right.
Do I enjoy those movies?
Yes.
I watch them.
And I don't, and look, and I'm fascinated by theories.
Yes.
I'll go watch the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to a point, but like Game of Thrones particularly, I love reading theories based on the prophecies and everything. But even George R. Martin himself says some people guessed right, a lot of people don't. And also prophecies are meant to be misconstrued and gotten wrong in stories.
100%.
So I'm just like, I want to see how this plays out. And then I love going back and going, hey, this little moment in The Last Jedi, what it really meant, like the humor in The Last Jedi, you might not think it's funny, but it means that Hux has no power.
They're human.
Yeah, Hux has no power. His officers don't trust him. They're waiting for his demise, and the humor is used by Rian Johnson to undercut him. Right. So therefore, I like it.
It's not a Darren Aronofsky movie. It's not Requiem for a Dream, people.
I was watching Return of the Jedi just the other day. I'm studying for the movie Trivia Shmodown thing. I love Return of the Jedi. Love it.
It's great.
There's so much silliness in it.
Yeah.
And a bad scene.
Ewoks ruined the Star Wars. Are you kidding me? They're adorable.
Even that. There's that scene with Lando and Han Solo, and where Lando's taking the Falcon, and he's going to go off to the space battle, and Han's going to go to Endor. Take it. And, oh, I know what she means to you and all that stuff. It's the worst backdrop. It is like it is literally a painting. It's a matte painting. But it looks like they were on set with, like, Sesame Street cardboard, and two great actors are just having this wooden scene of I know how much she means about
yeah.
But I love the scene because I love the characters.
Of course.
But I watch it in that regard. Like
100%.
So Westworld, going back to the Westworld thing.
Yeah.
I have no doubt it is good. And if you're listening now and you're like, hey, but I connected to the show. I don't want to feel.
Go ahead.
No. Connect away. It. Have your theories. It just doesn't pull me in.
It couldn't for me. I was so tired. Same with the show Legion on FX. It's one long drug trip makes no sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kept trying to fake it because the fans were liking it and was pushing. But I can't fake it anymore, Ken.
You can't. No, you can't.
I've given up on, like, half the shows I used to have to watch for Collider TV Talk. And it is freedom.
Is this like a post-TV Talk mind?
Yeah, it's fantastic, man.
What's that like?
I gave up on all the DC shows on CW.
Right.
Get rid of them. Nobody's ever going to die. There's no stakes.
Green Phasm or something like that.
Green Arrow and The Flash and Black Lightning and Supergirl. Oh, God. And the Legends of Tomorrow. It's just like, none of this interests me. It's not. It's barely a procedural that has no stakes.
Right.
I gave up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I really don't care.
Right.
I don't even know what the universe is. Once they got in space, once shows go to space,
it's over.
I'm done.
That's like number four of a movie trilogy.
Right.
Airplane in space. Police Academy in space.
Correct.
That's the old trope. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. I tell you what, man, the freedom that comes with not having to watch those shows simply because other people watch them is amazing. And I had that rant on TV Talk, and I will say this to anybody.
Right.
And I think you'll agree with me. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
Right.
And if you love it and we don't watch it, that doesn't make us bad people. It just makes us that we don't watch it.
Yeah.
It's not for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to sound particularly curmudgeonly.
Or
but
pretentious.
Yeah. Because there's another way of being so anti the pretentiousness of loving something that
Correct.
You become pretentious in your dislike of something.
Sure.
No. You and I are just two simple blokes. And, you know, like Grace, again, you know what she got me hooked on? I want to watch more of. I've only seen one episode. We're going to go back. I'm
Peaky Blinders.
No. Oh. Marsha Clark Investigates the First 48.
Oh.
Because I used to love watching the First 48 on A&E, which is
love that show.
Little detectives following real-life detectives around. So now the show kind of, I think it's in like 89th season, but this is a different version of it.
Love it.
It's Marsha Clark Investigates the First 48 of like famous or infamous cases.
Mm.
Fascinating stuff.
See?
And I don't, guess what? I don't have to predict what happens.
No.
I just see what happens.
The theory is that
the
OJ.
The theory is.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. It's just, you know, I posted a tweet today. I was like, is anything happening on all those shows I stopped watching? That's it.
Yeah.
And I got tons of tweets that were like, this happened. Do you watch this still? I'm like, guys, that was the funny part of the tweet. The internet got me. I fought the internet and the internet won.
And I love talking Star Wars, but like sometimes I'll never stop. It's too fun. It's too fun, and it's my childhood dream. But there's times where I'm just like, I just want to enjoy it.
Right. And I think sportscasters are the same way. They're like, some days I'd rather just talk about Star Wars.
It's like if I started working at a sandwich shop.
Right.
Because I love sandwiches so much.
I do too.
Yeah. Like if I was at Porto's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Making sandwiches.
Yeah, sports thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like everything. You get too involved.
Do you do?
You work at Disneyland, and suddenly it's not the most magical kingdom anymore.
Or you went there once.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Not
you absolutely hate Disneyland.
You can judge me on this one, but I tell you what, you can't judge me on Ken.
Oh, yeah?
Don't you judge me.
Don't
Ken.
Judge me.
Don't judge me.
Oh, don't judge me.
I watched two movies this weekend because I got a little.
Count them two.
One's called Three Men and a Baby, and the other one's called Three Men and a Little Lady.
Oh, okay. Classic.
I posted on Twitter, God, Three Men and a Baby, Three Men and a Little are super underrated movies. And some guy responded, oh, just have a baby already. And I was like, okay, that's not the point of
it.
The point of it is that movies like that were made in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they are just, they're just well-done rom-coms.
Yeah.
They're just well-done rom-coms.
Yes.
And there's a little bit of suspense to it. There's a little bit of stakes to it. It's, they are simple narrative movies that don't get made anymore. Cause you got to have like some crazy physical comedy where the guy gets hit by a cab and then
set
like,
piece.
Yeah.
Comedy set piece. Yeah.
Three Men and a Baby is the quintessential 80s movie. It really is.
Yeah.
It is anything you want in an 80s movie. Great theme song to start off top. Three leading men.
Yeah.
Put in a weird position.
Yeah.
They're like sex maniacs. Nobody cared about that back then.
No.
Carefree. There's a really adult topic for some reason that is put into this. Everything just mulls on top of it. It's like who done it?
Mm-hmm.
They are just well done, silly movies, and nobody makes well done, silly movies anymore.
Gutenberg, Selleck, Danson.
Yes.
Top of their game.
Uh huh.
I mean, people don't realize the drawing power of Steve Gutenberg in the mid-80s.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's a cartoonist, but also a modern, avant-garde, characterist artist that is genius. Ted Danson, a playboy actor. Mm-hmm. Tom Selleck, like the youngest architect in New York history to design a building.
Right.
Genius.
Right.
And they all live together in this beautiful loft space.
What's the circumstance that they have to raise this child?
Ted Danson knocked up a woman that he was shooting a movie with at one point, and she left the baby on their doorstep.
What's her problem?
Yeah. And then she comes back into the picture, and it all is forgiven. Again, another classic 80s move.
Yeah. All is forgiven. Let's all dance.
Bad boys.
I don't think
feel so good.
Anyone in the right mind could judge you about loving the Three Men in a Franchise.
The Three Men and a Franchise.
I'm not as familiar with Three Men and a Lady.
Yeah.
Follow up.
They go to England.
Yeah. They didn't go to space yet.
Nope.
So it's okay.
I believe Three Men in a Space.
Yeah.
Space Baby was the fourth movie in the trilogy that they have never made.
It was, we could write that spec script.
100%.
But yeah, it was, I know what you mean too, that classic era of comedies. And look, we've, I'm not talking like Revenge of the Nerds because that, you know, creepy, the nerds, the bad guys, all that kind of stuff. I'm not getting into that discussion, but just what you said, even up to the mid 90s of just a, let me have, and yes, it got watered down like anything, like stand up comedy and podcasts. It gets watered down in YouTube reviews. It gets watered down in reaction videos, reviews of potato chips. It gets watered down and it's not good. It's not good. The sixth
quality
generation.
Quality has to rise to the top, Ken.
The cream rises to the top. I get it. But I just, the simple, straight-ahead, three-act comedies, I kind of miss that.
I do.
Yeah. And I'm not talking raunch fests.
No.
I'm talking
about like a Notting Hill.
Oh, I do like Notting Hill.
I'm talking about like a Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson.
Elvis Costello's got a great song on that soundtrack called She.
She.
I'm not going to do Elvis
Costello. I know the song that you're talking about. It's a good one.
And he released it on a Greatest Hits around the same time. You
need like a 9 months.
Nine months. Julianne Moore, Hugh Grant.
Great stuff. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes.
Runaway Bride.
The de facto sequel to Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
And people
tell me that, like, because I, you know, infamously love Pretty Woman. Like, well, you know, that's not realistic. That's not really a hooker. And how bad. No, I get it.
We get it.
It was originally supposed to be like she was had a drug problem. It was getting darker. Frank Marshall comes in and makes it a happy, scrappy love story between a man and a hooker.
Right.
Just let it be.
How many times have we seen a movie or a TV show where a man falls in love with a prostitute? It happens. Okay. They have a certain draw about them, Ken.
Then they go to space.
Don't judge me. Yeah, and then before you know it, it's hookers in space.
So I know what you mean. The mid-90s had a good rush of that, too. There's, you know, 80s. You know, Big's an example.
Oh,
Splash. Gosh,
yes.
I think the 90s, it came back a bit, too, and then it went away. And look, again, watered down. I'm not talking about like a Jennifer Lopez Made in Manhattan type of movie.
Right.
And if you like that, you like it too. But another one
There was a movie that recently just came out with Adam Devine from Workaholics.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand-up comic. Forget what it was, but it was sort of like this like time travel-ish sort of movie with Alexandra Daddario and Robbie Amell or something like that. And it was honestly like it was a three-act comedy.
Right.
And then in the third act, they just lost me in the whole thing.
Oh, that's too bad.
Because it felt like a good late 90s, late 80s,
right.
midnight, whatever.
That
throwback
period.
To that three-act comedy that was just like, hey, me and the missus went out on date night on Friday night. And it was like, bad.
Things
I heard
3 Men
and Babies. Yeah, yeah. Made $80 million at the box office or something like that. That's it.
That's all you need.
That's all you needed. A Sweet Home Alabama.
You'd sign up for Columbia House and pick your 20 VHS tapes.
Correct.
And four of them would be these rom-com type of stuff.
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
Leave that right
I
there
liked
on the table.
Legally Blonde. Great one. And then, what's it? Elle Woods, right?
Elle Woods and Bruiser Woods, the dog.
My Best Friend's Wedding.
Oh, thank you.
It's one of my favorites of these. Dermot Mulroney, Cameron Diaz,
yes.
Julia Roberts.
Oh, man.
Yourself. I tell you what, that movie, there's an opening dance number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wishing and hoping, this whole thing, right? And there's a girl who's like the bride, and everyone dances around her. I know her. Her name's Rocky Alexander. A-R-C-I, Rocky Alexander. I've lost contact with her. Me and my old friend Lou, you know Rachi. Lou. She was one of the bartenders down at Timmy Nolan's pub in Tulka Lake. So I knew her for about a year. And this is mid-2000s to late-2000s. The movie came out mid-90s, so she's 10 years older. Looks the same, but I didn't pick her out, even though I was like, hey, Rocky, how you doing? Yeah. I'll have a whiskey. And all of a sudden, like one day, it came up, and I like dropped my drink, was like, you're the dance girl from the Best Friend's Wedding. Rupert Everett. She was like, yeah, oh, yeah, it was great. It was a fun day. We did we helped choreograph. And then I went back and watched it on YouTube. I was like, that's Rocky.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was blew my mind. That's how much I love that movie.
See, those movies are the kind of movies that shaped us as people. And I think as we're going towards this more and more.
Did it shape it for the better? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because you won't
know.
Go behind the curtain for the birth.
Correct.
But yes, it shaped
it. But Ken, you know what, Ken? We all have great memory. What I will say is with all these superhero movies and all these movies with these giant budgets and all this stuff, we are losing out on these just medium budgeted three-act rom-com situational comedies because they are great movies.
That are borderline unrealistic
things.
You know, I get it, you know.
And we're not asking for Star Wars rom-coms.
No. Oh, no. I mean, I'd be okay.
Okay.
But no, I know what you mean. You know, like look, man, I'm a Steve Martin fan. So the remake of Father of the Bride.
Fantastic.
One of my favorite movies. Roxanne
is a fantastic movie.
Reworking of Cyrano de Bergerac. I mean, a lot of the Martin movies of that time period.
Cheaper by the dozen. I'll throw it out there, Ken. It's a great three-act comedy.
This is Don't Judge Me, so I'm not going to judge you.
Parenthood.
Parenthood's great,
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
But uplifting at points.
And we're not talking about the NBC TV show.
No.
This isn't TV talk yet.
Talking about the Steve Martin movie.
This all started from 3 Men and a Baby, and you asked people out there to not judge you, Josh. No one's going to judge
you. Thanks, Ken.
You guys should all appreciate those.
Thanks, bud.
Pretty simple, straightforward, classic comedies.
Right on.
Boom, boom, boom.
Nailed it.
I hurt my arm,
Ken,
my bicep.
Huh.
And
are jacked.
Yeah, and I have, I have, for the last 2 years, I had some pain in my left shoulder.
Huh.
And I went to a doctor.
Okay.
I know men, especially me, stubborn men like you and me, do not like going to the doctors.
Nope.
I went and I told my doc, and he was like, let me take a look at it. And this is what he said to me. You might have like a strained rotator cuff, but you ain't pitching this week. I'm not worried about it. I have it too. Hurts me to pull my seatbelt. I'm quoting.
Are you sure this doctor wasn't my brother?
You're
fine.
Yeah.
Walk it off.
So I'm like, okay. Sounds great. And then I had this like little weird skin condition that I battle every now. It's not contagious. It's just this weird little spots come up on me. And I was like, can I have the cream for it? And he was like, I don't know if you really want to give it to. I mean, it's not great for your kidneys. I'm like, you know, it's not great for me looking like, you know, I've got some kind of alien disease and it goes away within a day if I take this pill and the cream. And he's all right. But this is, I don't see that doctor
Where
anymore.
Is he running this? Out of like a TGI Fridays?
Kaiser. Normally, smart. I'm a Kaiser. Okay. Anyways. I've had this arm injury, and so our good friend, Johnny LaQuasto.
Great guy.
Who is a licensed physical therapist.
Hell of a jawline.
At a schmodown recently, I said, Johnny, you might have to fix my rotator cuff, man. It's getting worse and worse. Because it got to the point, you know, rat, Ratsy, Adelaide, Grayson's two-pound chihuahua, couldn't lift it with my left arm.
What?
That's how bad my arm was hurting.
Man, think about what would happen with the Chipotle burrito.
Right. Barely could eat. Damn. So I have the botatorium in my apartment. Yeah. I have a gym in my apartment.
The in-home botatorium.
In-home botatorium. Mm-hmm. And I can't use it. It's sitting there empty.
Collecting dust.
Collecting dust. My like weight's going Jones up and everything. Because I love working out.
Yeah.
So he goes, let me take a look. He does like a couple tests. And he goes, it's not your rotator cuff. He goes, hold on, let me do your arms. And this is one thing I have to like hold my palms up and push up while he pushes down. And I'm like, ah, he's like, oh, there it is. Bicep tendonitis.
Hey.
He goes, that's what you've had.
I found the hole.
I go, for 2 years. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I go, I've been trying not to sleep on the side. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, there's a lot of nerves there. If you sleep on the side, it could affect it, make it worse.
Interesting.
He goes, yeah, there's nothing you really can do. Rest, stretching, ice regularly. I've done it. I'm back in the gym. I'm not lifting more than 15 pounds, 20 pounds at the most, because I'm not pitching this weekend.
Yeah.
But point being, real life injuries, they've been on my mind and your mind too.
Yeah.
You have some theories on this.
Well, here's the thing, okay? I feel like, and I think you're going to go with me on this one.
I hope so.
Okay. It's like, why as adults in our mid-30s, are we playing extended games of basketball?
Right.
Or extended, like, long seasons of softball?
Softball.
Or, like, pickup hockey?
Yeah.
Or, you know, anything where you have to, like, okay.
Yeah.
Ken.
Yeah.
We all know when we were kids, you can work out. I hit the exer bike. I do some push-ups,
you do the
whatever.
Spin. Yep.
I do, you know, I hit the spin. Yeah. I've done a yoga every now and then.
Hit the pipes,
you know, anything that Amanda wants me to come to a workout with her, I usually go to it. Okay.
Smart man.
I walk in the Collider the other day. Roka's got a brace on his knee.
Right.
Harry can't use her elbow. Bob Finstock tore his Achilles playing basketball.
Yeah.
Mark Ellis, something with his wrist. His whole body, right? You don't. Why are we doing this to ourselves? My buddy got a puck to the face the other night in pickup hockey, broke his cheekbone.
Right.
Okay. What? Right. Why are we? Okay, listen, I understand there's a thing about working out. I understand.
Yeah,
but
is
it really?
Activity is a good thing.
Activity is a good thing. Physical activity. I play golf. You know what I do? I walk the course. Okay. You know how many miles you walk in 18 holes?
Good
walk. It's a solid 6.5 to 7 miles that you walk during 18 holes. You get your exercise in there.
Yep.
You get some sun. Drink a couple beers. Whatever you want to do. It's a nice workout. You're outside with your friends. You go bowling. You could throw the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. You go on a power walk around a mall. I don't care. Why am I?
I just did 4 miles at the zoo last weekend.
It's fantastic. Good. That's a good step day.
Yep.
What I'm saying is pickup basketball that much fun that you're going to hurt yourself? Is playing softball with your butt, is it that much fun that you to get hurt, it's worth it? What I'm saying, Ken.
I agree. I hear where you're going, and I agree with it.
All moderation. I'm an adult. I don't need to be out there still flexing like I'm 18, thinking like, you know, I played high school baseball. I was a high school swimmer. I'm going to race. Because our bodies are stagnant. We work office jobs, or we're not super active. Our kid, you get older. All of a sudden, you hit a softball. You take off to first base. You shred your hamstring.
Yeah.
And then you're laid up forever. And your hamstring never fully heals because you know why, Ken? We don't have a training staff from the Toronto Blue Jays fixing our hamstrings. These professional athletes.
Yes.
True story.
Yes.
Okay? Amanda goes to spin class. Okay?
Yes.
And one of my favorite Pittsburgh Steelers, if not my favorite Pittsburgh Steeler of all time, a man by the name of Troy Polamalu, goes to her spin class.
Really?
Right? So he's talking to the spin instructor afterwards. And
has he still got the hair?
Oh, yeah, he'll never cut the hair.
Yeah.
He can't.
It's
part of the culture. I mean, he trims it. It doesn't like, it's not like down to his waist or anything.
Right.
Usually when he goes to like formal events, he puts it up in a bun.
Sure.
But okay. So he's talking to the spin instructor, and just what happens that this certain spin instructor is also a physical therapist, like one Johnny LaQuasto. I mean, he's a licensed, and he's talking to Troy and whatever. And so he walks away, and I was like, what did Troy talk to you about? Because I didn't want to go to be like, hey, Troy, this one, I was at the game when you intercepted against the Ravens.
Why are you crying?
I'm sweating through my pants. So he's like, oh, he still has like lingering hamstring issues. I was like, he tore his hamstring in like the fifth year in the league and played through it.
Right.
So you're telling me that a professional athlete who had all of the top healthcare in the world still has trouble with his hamstrings?
Like on cold days, he can't move.
Right?
Yeah.
Jerome yeah. Bettis still talks about the fact that his groin always hurts. He tore his groin. That was it.
Yes.
So what are we doing? We're not professional athletes. No. Why are you out there playing pickup basketball? When I was a kid, my dad played in those adult basketball leagues.
Oh, yeah. Like
60 it's knee
Tuesday
braces.
Night, Deb. Yeah. I'm heading out to the gym with the boys.
Male Spanx. Every kind of like copper
a headband.
Sock. Headband. Everything that they could get. My dad would come and be like, God, I hurt so bad. Why are you doing it? Just get on the treadmill or an elliptical or a bike.
The softball.
You listen, Ken, we can go to a bar
yeah, my roommate
after we work out and have a couple drinks.
Yeah.
We don't need softball to play drinks and tear our Achilles.
My roommate hurt himself. My old roommate hurt himself playing softball. I agree. Dude, you're right, because I think it taps into this desire to be an athlete, pro athlete. Mm-hmm. I had it. You had it. We all had it. Like, I get it. And people might argue with the, well, hey, it's being active. No, I totally get that. I'm hitting the gym. You're doing yoga. You're hitting the pipes. Working up. I believe in activity, hiking, whatever you want to do.
100%.
But there's something that switches in.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, my hockey team. Hockey? We play for the Nashville
Predators,
the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
No. The Simi Valley men's 40 and above A team.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
And and it's so intense, and you're living this fantasy that we all have had.
Yeah.
And you might pay the price for it.
Well,
I've seen it in the wrestling ring. People go, and they're mid-40s. I'm going to finally become a wrestler. I'm going to wrestle a match. Bust their elbow.
100%.
And you're right. You don't have the Dodgers training staff.
You don't.
I barely have Johnny LaCosta when he's in town not doing USO comedy tours. Got to be careful.
Our bodies aren't meant to compete in...
Yeah.
Listen, you're stagnant, and all of a sudden you're sprinting, and then you're stagnant, and you're sprinting. Your body isn't ready for that.
You know why? Because all day you're filing TPS reports, and then that night you stretch for 2 minutes, and you think you're Jaromir Jagr.
What is it that you do here, Ken? Because it's not sprinting around a basketball
what
court.
Is it,
okay.
Say that you do here.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And you mentioned the groin. I'm not on Jerome Bettis's level.
None of us are.
Ken. Not in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But in about 2002. I was getting into shape and running, right? Running. Right. I don't run right. I understand that's the correct form.
Tom Selleck in Mr. Baseball. Had a hole in his swing.
Yes. I don't run well. My old friend Dave would say you're like a hippopotamus stamping out a fire. So I pulled my groin. Okay. When I say pulled, it wasn't like, oh, it's kind of hurting. I had to go to the hospital because it felt like someone had a sword and was jamming it into my taint. For days.
See?
And after an embarrassing, the doctor, and I was like, all right, please be like Dr. Burt, who's 72. And right. He's like, let me see your wing wang.
Yeah.
It was no joke. Like this doctor, 28, out of med school, gorgeous woman awesome. Walks in. And she has to ask me to pull my pants down. And she does the check. And then she got asked, like, are you... did you recently change sexual partners? I'm like, honey, I haven't started sex yet. Yeah. Long story, side note, 10 years later or so, no, actually, left 5-6 years later, that's one of my new friend's fiance.
Get out of here.
She walks into this wrestling locker room. He was filming a documentary about a wrestling league, and I'm like, where do I know her? And my friend Ryan's like, oh, this is a, you know, I forget her name. It's been years. And he's like, yeah, she's a doctor. Works. I was like, is she a doctor for Kaiser? He's like, yeah. And I was like, she's seen my penis. point being, that was 2002.
Correct. You still have
now to this day, if I run or try to run or walk fast to Target down the street, my groin goes out.
Yeah.
So why am I going to suddenly play lunch league softball in Burbank every Sunday?
Right. I never. The only thing left athletically that I can do that is impressive, Ken, is get a hole in one in golf. I still don't have one. That's all I want. I know I'm never going to bowl a 300 game. I know I'm never going to run a Bo Jackson 4-3-40. I'm never going to be an Olympic swimmer. Right. I'm never going to play baseball for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm never going to play cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay.
My friend Corey has a hole in one, registered at Knollwood and Balboa.
Damn, Knollwood's a good
Granada Hills, Puerto Rancho.
Knollwood's a tough course.
He would go. We'd play golf at Van Nuys.
He'd tell you about it.
He would no. He was great. He'd outdrive me with a sand wedge, and I was using a one iron. Like I'm like, Corey, how are you doing this? He's like, I don't know. He's just
this
natural
huge.
Athlete.
Yeah, that happens with natural athletes. I'm not one of them.
But
Ken.
Even he doesn't go. You know why he doesn't go play? He pulled his Achilles. He broke. Yeah.
I still thought
soccer.
I had a skateboard. I loved skateboarding when I was a kid. Yeah, I take my little nephew to the skateboard park.
Bucky LASIK.
I hurt my hip so bad at this skateboard park. This was a year and a half ago.
Right. Right.
I'm still hurting. It still hurts. Yes. I swear to God, I can't sleep on my left side because I'm a side sleeper. Oh, so now I have to sleep on my stomach.
That's arm. I can't sleep. Yeah, I'll sleep on the stomach. I can't do back. Mm-hmm. When you sleep on your back, it seems like you're depressed. You're just naturally more depressed.
And you also, it's bad for breathing.
Yeah. Oh, and I have a snoring problem, I think. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, look, if you're out there and you're like, hey, but look, we know, like, we're friends with Cody Decker.
Yes.
The dude has played in the major leagues. He is currently tearing it up AAA Reno for the Reno Aces for Arizona Diamondbacks. He is 30-31, right?
Yeah.
I see what he puts into it.
It's a fucking lot of work, man.
It is a 365, it's Christmas morning and I'm deadlifting 400 pounds type of thing.
Tom Dagnino was on crutches and partially a wheelchair for almost a year after he tore his Achilles.
And at the time, I liked him less and I was willing to push him over. Yes, but you're right. It was like, Tom, what happened?
Play pickup basketball.
I think he was playing baseball and there we go, the basketball. Right. And it's pretty good, Tom. I do a good Dagnino. But you know what's funny, though? All these people that play, Roca's, had a decent athletic history in his life. Perry plays all the time. All these people are saying. The one who's not nursing anything, though, is JTE.
Yeah.
That guy just keeps on plugging
away. Maybe
he's
a genetic freak.
I think he is. Who knows? I think you're right. I think you're right. Be careful out there.
I'm not saying don't be in activities. Get active. Well, play 60, whatever they call it these days.
NFL play 60.
Go take a couple mile walk with somebody. Walk up a hill.
That's what Josh and I are doing after we record this show.
We're going to take a walk. Okay?
Our friend Owen Mugen was on our show recently, co-host This Is Life with me. We went downtown LA. We took the subway down there, met some friends, and we did a little bar hop downtown. Yeah. I got some great tacos at a taco place downtown.
Fantastic.
We walked 4.1 miles.
See, there you go. You burned calories. You had a good time. Yeah. Did a walk.
Yeah.
Ken, I'm not asking you to sprint a 40.
No.
Okay? I'm not asking you to play professional highlight.
Here's what you... Eat better.
Eat better.
That's what I have to do, you have to do, everyone has to do. We'll start our diet after Portos. Okay. But eat better and do some light calisthenics.
Correct.
And some get in the gym. Yeah.
Correct. All right. You're 100% right.
That's your plan from Dr. Makuga at NAPSOC. Oh, that's that. Well, I think we're almost towards the end here there. I don't want to give any spoilers, including emotional reactions, but are you going to see Solo, A Star Wars Story?
I can't wait. Han Solo is my favorite Star Wars character.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was a Star Wars character, I would be Han Solo.
You would be Han Solo. Would be Han Solo.
I'd get frozen carbonate. My bad.
Yeah. I hope you check it out.
Yeah.
So I'll be checking it out. I'm not.
Can you sell? Just sell me. I'm going to give you 15 seconds. Give me the elevator pitch of why you think Josh Makuga would like Han Solo. Solo Star Wars.
A funny, wisecracking guy with a heart of gold who has a problem with authorities trying to make his way in the galaxy. And it doesn't go as planned, but he learns the lesson he needs.
That's a three-act comedy, Ken. Boom. That's exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
That's the one.
I guarantee you that's what how they pitch Love Actually. So...
I find that Love Actually does exist. I love that movie. Yes. No. So, yeah, go see it. You know,
okay.
I envy you being a casual Star Wars fan.
It's great.
I envy you. I'm so in deep.
I envy you being just a casual Bad Boys 2 fan, Ken, because some days I wake up and I have to fight for my right to be a bad boy.
I mean, you see Young Guns 2 sitting on my TV counter there.
I'm just waiting because I have Young Guns 2 on my DVR saved.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just waiting for when Young Guns pops up one day and I can finally record
it. Boom. We'll do that. Well, that is the afternoons.
It's the afternoons, Ken.
For this week. And believe it or not, Josh, we remembered our slogan.
We did.
Right? Hit me, baby.
Doesn't matter when you listen. It's always the afternoon.
Boom! That's right. The afternoon's currently here on the Knapsack Files podcast feed, but very shortly, very soon, its own RSS feed, its own podcast. We'll give you that information. You can follow us at Ken Knapsack, at Josh Makuga, and we're going to let you guys know, and we're going to take this new adventure, Josh.
New adventure.
You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to come in.
This could be the afternoon show that will rule the world forever.
Mark Riley yelling at things. Grace and Josh giving me portas. Mark Ellis will come back. We'll play some Magic the Gathering. A lot of things can happen here in the afternoons because, as we always say again, Josh.
Doesn't matter when you listen, Ken. It's always the afternoon.